This morning, how many people brought their Bibles? Go ahead and lift them up. Yeah, there we go. We like that. We like that. I see them phones. That's good. That's good. Those guys up the top, they got all their phones out, but I don't know if they got their Bible on them or not. But we pray they do in the sound booth and in the balcony. Daniel and Jake. I see your face. There you go. He's looking up what we're going to. Matthew 14:22-33. Keeping your eyes on Jesus is what I've entitled this. So Matthew 14:22-33. And again, I read from the New King James Version, so bear with me. It says this: immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Verse 29, so he said, "Come." And when Peter had come out of the boat, down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Lord God, thank you again for who you are. Thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. Thank you for the written word. And that, Lord, we have the written word so that we can learn from it. And then, Lord, thank you for this pericope and this story so that, Lord, what we learn from it, that we can apply it to our lives. And so thank you again for your presence in this place. And we ask you, Lord, to be honored and glorified through all that is said and done. And we pray this in Jesus' holy name. And they all said,
Amen.
Well, walking on water seems to be pretty easy, doesn't it? I mean, for Jesus, he just took off and walked on the water. But I want to point out a few things before we get to walking on the water. Because walking on the water seems like that's the big deal. You know, for Jesus, I don't think it's as big a deal as we think. But I do want us to think about what is going on. The setting is Jesus sent them away. Well, who did he send away? The story just before this is the feeding of the 5,000. So if you think about feeding 5,000 men, it says, plus women and children, all those people were on the side of the hill, and those are the ones he said, "Go home." You know, more or less, go home. It's time to, for you to go back to regular living. And then he sent his disciples to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. So if you think about that, that's cool. Jesus says, "I'm pretty much tired of all you," more or less. You know, it's almost like company at Thanksgiving. No. I mean, or at Christmas time. You know, the house is full and, you know, it's the end of the night and it's time, way past time, for them to already have gone home. You know the feeling, don't you? That's where Jesus was, I think, and he said, "Go home." And so that's what happened. But what was beautiful about this is that after the feeding of the 5,000, he sends everybody home. What does he do? Now that's the key, I think, to the whole sermon today. If you think about what it says that he goes to be with who? Anybody? His father, that's right. Miss Betty, you were right on. Listen. He goes to get quiet. Now, isn't that amazing? He goes to get quiet, to be with the Father. So I want to say today, do we have our eyes on Jesus? If we really have our eyes on Jesus, even in this story, though he walks on water, which is a miracle, you know, we know that. Because you and I can't do that. But he walks on water, though that's a big plus and miracle in this setting, I want to say the most important thing we need to do is watch what he does. After doing miraculous things, he goes and spends time with the Father. Because what he does is he goes and gets quiet. Now, I want to say this to you. If you think about today, how much noise we have in our life. Now, you know, you say noise, well, the truck's going by. Yeah, that's noise. But, no, let me say noise. How many of you all have cable TV or Dish or Direct? And so you have all these stations, right? Now that's all noise coming your way. Now you have to choose what stations you're going to view. Now, that's just one noisemaker. What about the radio? Now, I know about you all. Most of you don't even know you have a sound system in your car. But if you have grandparents or grandkids, if you're a grandparent, you have grandkids, and they get in it just for a few minutes and you're not around, when you get in there and you crank the car up, boom, boom, boom. You ever had that happen to you? Well, I have kids, young kids. And so sometimes when I go and crank the car up, I have to turn the volume way down before I ever, you know, go anywhere because it'll blow my ears out and my doors are vibrating and that kind of stuff. So that's noise too, isn't it? And then you have all those radio stations that you have to select. Which ones are you going to listen to? You know, is it Rick and Bubba, you know, in the morning show? Or is it some country western? My son says, why in the world did they ever have country western stations? I know. I don't understand it. He doesn't understand. Why would they listen to that? And so, but that's him, you know. And of course, you choose. And that's again, noise that we have to select, right? So not only do we select TV noise, we have to do radio noise, but also, how many of you like to just spend a day at home and you're cleaning the house or you're doing something at home and there's nothing on? Just silence. Yeah, there's a few of you that do. But most people like background noise. They do. They like the TV going, or they like the radio going, just to have it going. Let me tell you why, though. Let me tell you why. Because the very reason Jesus went in the mountaintop to be with his Father, we tend to want noise. And God, just like with Peter, Peter said to Jesus, if you tell me to come, I will come. The problem is we don't like to hear that voice that says, come. We don't want to hear the voice that tells us to do things or to self-examine. Now, you know, I've just been in a couple of revivals, and we just came off a camp meeting and two revivals. And let me tell you what, I'm walking on the clouds, okay? I mean, if you could walk on the clouds. Spiritually, I am just like in this zone. And I'm going, yes, yes. Maybe there's a song like that. Do you guys know, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Is that a song?
Yeah.
Okay, it is. Well, anyway, it's a you song. You're just excited because it's the Lord speaking to you. God's been speaking to you and you know it's Him. And He's leading you and guiding you and directing you. And you're just in this, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Amen. That's right. And so we're in this mode. And so what I want to say is that, listen, God said to Jesus, go over here to the mountain, listen to my voice, because I have something in store for you down the road. And it's not too far down the road because he already sent the disciples over there. He already knew what was going to take place. He already knew all the miracles that had taken place on the side of the hill, the feeding of the 5,000 with just the two fish and the five loaves and all that left over, the 12 baskets left over. He had that miracle, that all those miracles of healing, all that kind of stuff just happened. Sent everybody home. He went to be with the Father. Now, What happens is when we go and listen to the Father and we keep our eyes on Jesus, what He's doing, He always seems to be going to the Father to hear the voice of what He's to do next. That's what He goes for. He goes to hear the voice of the Father so He knows what's coming next and or equipping Him to go and do the next step. And so what I want to say with us, here we had revival. Revival was in this church. We're going to try to carry it on with the preaching in the square tonight, or preaching on the square. We're going to continue to try to take that swell that's in the community, wanting more of Jesus, wanting to share the love of Jesus and all that kind of stuff. And what I want to say is, if we'll spend some time with the Lord and Jesus and the Father, then God's going to guide us in our next step. Scripture says, if you take the first step, what happens? God will guide the next step, won't He? Now, the problem is that we have all this noise in our life. How many of you have a phone that vibrates? You know, right now, if it vibrated, what would you do? You would check to see what's going on. Are you that important? Think about it. I mean, you know, if you're a doctor or, you know, you're on call or something like that, but, you know, turn the thing off certain periods of time. You know, in certain settings, you just turn it off. Jay, just turn it off, just for a minute or two, you know. And you don't have to communicate with the rest of the world. Sometimes we need to just focus on what's right in front of us. Sometimes some of the most important things are right in front of us. I know as a parent, sometimes my children, you know, I take them for granted. I take my wife for granted. They're right there in front of me, and I'm doing stuff that I really shouldn't be doing, probably. Meaning this isn't the appropriate time to be doing it. Not that I'm doing something wrong, but, you know, I could take and do that tomorrow, or I could catch up on my emails tomorrow. I could, you know, do all that other stuff later. But right in front of me, I have the most important things in my world. But what we do is we got all this noise, and we're so important in our world. The thing is God's saying, listen, take some time to look at what Jesus is doing. Do you have your eyes on Jesus? Do you see what He does? He goes to the Father. He spends time with the Father. And then He goes and does what the Father asked Him to do. But I want to say, we don't hear Him. We don't hear Him oftentimes because we're so busy doing our thing. We're so busy doing our thing and trying to create our planner. You know, I mean, I look at my schedule and I'm going, golly, sometimes I'm overwhelmed with all the things that I have responsibility for. And I'm sure you're the same way. You go, whoa, all those people depend on me to do that? Lord, help me. Sometimes we need that, don't we? We need help. And so what I'm saying is, in our everyday living, I think we need time. We need time to keep our eyes on Jesus and see what's important to Him. What's important to Him is spending time with the Father. And so when we're spending time with the Father, I want to say, how important is the Word of God? And Jesus, of course, didn't have the Word of God because He was the Word of God. You know what I mean? So He didn't need the Bible. He already knew what the Father was telling Him, but He was there listening to the Father, really being submissive, if you will, to the Father, so He would know exactly what He's supposed to do next. And so what I'm saying to us is, if we'll spend some quiet time with God, we'll start listening and we'll start hearing the voice that's been constantly saying to us and is always there trying to communicate with us. But we have so much noise, it's hard for us to differentiate what's His voice and what's not His voice. Now let me give you a great example. How many think Peter was a born-again believer? Amen? Peter. Simon Peter. You think he was? Yeah, amen. He was a born-again. He's the major guy. He is the guy, if you will, of the 12. He is. And so what happens when Jesus says, this is what's going to happen to me? What does Jesus say to Peter? Get behind me. Now how in the world can Peter, the guy that the church was built on, be Satan? I want to say this. He wasn't Satan. Well, he was. is that Jesus recognized Satan affecting him through his brain. Our brain is the battleground. And see, Satan influenced Peter to tell Jesus that that's not what's supposed to happen. I want you to do what I want you to do. You're supposed to be building the kingdom here on this earth, and I'm supposed to be your right-hand man, you know, and I'm going to have a lot of power. That's what Peter was saying to Jesus. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. I don't know about you, but is Satan influencing you? Does Satan influence you in your life? And so I say that to say, when Jesus spends time with the Father, and if you will, we have to read the Word of God so that we can have the Word of God, so we can know the Word of God, so we can write it upon our hearts, so that we can then act upon it. See, Jesus got to hear from the Father directly. There was no Word. He was the Word. So He was acting out what the Father was telling Him to do. Thus, we have the Word, so we have to read the Word so that we know the Word, so we know how Jesus acted. And so, therefore, we have to hear the voice. The problem is I want to say that we got so much noise going on that we tend not to hear the voice. We tend not to get quiet. And I did preach this before about saying hitting the pause button. We tend not to hit the pause button because we're going so fast. Tell me how many of you have a slow schedule in your life. Do you just lazy around and do nothing? I mean, even retirement. I've heard people tell me about retirement that they're more busy in retirement than I don't know how I had time to work. Have you ever said that? Yeah. And how did I have time to work? I do so much in retirement. Well, we're just busy people. And like I say, it's constant noise. The radio. I'm telling you, when I went to Georgia, I didn't even listen to the radio. It was such a time of reflection. Reflection. Self-examination. During this time of revival, during the time of camp meeting, do you know what God showed me? We need to examine ourselves. It's not for me to tell you you're doing wrong. It's for you to recognize you're doing wrong. It's for you. It's for you to learn through the Word of God that, listen, what I'm doing is not lining up with this Word. And therefore, I need to change. And if I don't change, guess what happens? There's a consequence. And the problem, I think, with our churches today is that we don't have enough time of self-reflection. We got so much noise going on. We don't turn off the world. We're just too busy. And then we say, well, how come I missed that? Well, sometimes we miss God and He's right there constantly. I just like that picture that Jesus is standing and He's knocking on the door and there's no knob on His side. There's only a knob on your side. Well, you know, I almost think it's like that with the voice. He's constantly calling your name. He's constantly asking you to do stuff. He's constantly wanting to be and spend time with you. I saw a beautiful little cartoon where two people came and knocked. I think they were Jehovah's Witnesses probably. They come in two. Or the Mormons. Either way. They come two by two. They got that figured out. And they do it very effectively. They come to, and they came and knocked on the door. And the lady went to the door. And it says, see if you can find Jesus. The lady opens up the door and is talking to these two people, and they have their ties on, so you know who they are, I mean, in the cartoon. But where is Jesus? I had to look. I had to blow it up a couple times and look around in the cartoon. He was behind the curtain, hiding. Almost like she said, hey, you go over there behind the curtain so they don't know you're here, and I'll answer the door. Is that how we think of Jesus? Is that how we live our lives? When people come to our door, well, you better go over there. You know, we don't want to spend time with Jesus all the time. Just when it's convenient for us. When it's convenient for us, we want to be, quote, Christians. We want to spend time with Jesus. But when Jesus wants to press into our heart, and sometimes it's at an altar call, and sometimes it's at church, and sometimes it's under preaching, and God knows that you're being drawn, but you just, I don't have time because the roast is in the oven, and you know what? I got people coming over at 1, and they're going to be eating, and they're waiting on me. It's not convenient, Jesus. I'll come and talk to you later. I don't know about you, but it happens to some. If it's convenient for us, if the noise is just the right, you know, if we turn it down just enough, we might hear his voice. Well, I think that was Jesus. Well, you know what? Peter heard him for sure because he said, "Get behind me, Satan," because Satan was influencing Peter at that time, and Jesus saw right through it. Sometimes I think we think that he doesn't know. We think Jesus doesn't know what we're doing. I mean, it's just a puzzlement to me. How do you not think that he knows everything about you? You can't hide from him. But what he wants to do is he says, really, if you'll just keep your eyes on me and watch what I do through the Word, if you'll read the Gospels, listen, the Gospels are full of good stories of exactly what Jesus did. And he'll just say, you know what, if you'll keep your eyes on me and listen to what I did, guess what your life will be? It will be better. How does it get better? It gets better because we start doing the very things that Jesus did. And so, if you look at John 14, he said, great things that I do, but greater things shall you do. Now, let's go back to the story. The real story, right? Where Jesus is walking on water, where he sent the disciples over there. There's a storm raging, and the disciples are fearful for their life. And Jesus comes walking on the water, and he says, hey, guys. And they're all full of fear because they think they've just seen a ghost. That's why they're fearful. It's not because it's Jesus. They're thinking it's a ghost on the water. And then Peter, of course, the leader, says, Jesus, if that's you, just tell me to come. And I will. So Jesus obliges him, doesn't he? He obliges him. Think about it. Because why? It's what Jesus wanted. And Peter was asking, is this really what you want? Jesus, is this really what you want? Do you think that's a reflective time of learning how to ask God, is this really what you want from me? Is this really what you're asking of me? And so Peter, when he asked that question, Jesus said, come. And so Peter, the gung-ho guy he always was and is in the Scriptures, jumps out of the boat and starts walking toward Jesus. And so when you see that happening, greater things did I do, or great things did I do, but greater shall you do. It makes me think of Luke 1, 32. With God, all things are possible. He's looking right at Jesus. He doesn't hear the waves crashing. He doesn't hear the thunder. He doesn't hear the wind blowing. He's got his eyes focused on Jesus, and he leaps out the boat, and he's walking that way. But it's also almost like us. We tend to get all hyped up, and revival begins with me. And what was that song? Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yeah, and you want more, and yes, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm filled up to overflowing, I'm praising God, thank you, Jesus, glory be to Him, that is on high, the great I am, and you're all bubbling over. While you're in service, while you're in the revival, while you're in the moment with Him that you're allowing Him to have control. But the problem is that as soon as Peter got out of that focus on Jesus, he started looking around. We tend to go back out in the world and we get saddled right back in our saddle, our everyday routine. And we start going, oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, maybe, Lord. I don't know. Maybe not now, Lord. You can go over there. I'm busy. I got to go. I got to do this, and I got to do that. And we have all this noise again, and then we just start letting it bombarding us. And it's almost like, how do you sort through all this? I want to say it's going to the Father, going to the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch what He did and keep your eyes on Jesus. Go spend time with the Father. Go spend time in the Word. Let Him speak to you. Let the, if you will, the waves of the love of God just wash over you. And a beautiful scripture that I preached on this week at Revival was Romans 12, 1 and 2. Really, the whole chapter. But the renewing of your mind. Let the Word of God just be like the ocean waves. Just constantly renewing your mind. Being reminded what God's expecting of us. What He's wanting from us. And He's wanting us to be like Him. The problem is, I think, we tend not to hear His voice. Because we're so busy. We're so doing other things that we want to do. That we don't spend enough time with Him. To know that He's constantly calling us to come. And Peter says, is that you, Lord, telling me to come? Yeah, come. Sometimes we need to come and just bask in His love and His presence. And I've been in places where I've looked at time and time just seems to stop. It doesn't even go by because you're focused so much on Jesus. You're so focused on His presence. The problem that we have is there's so much trying to bombard us. We have a closing song this morning, number 349. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. This is the privilege I guess we have today is that we can turn our eyes upon Jesus as we sing this song. Maybe there's something in your life that has been maybe burdening you, maybe taking more of your time than you thought should happen. And maybe you need to come and just bask in His presence. So as you stand up and we turn to 349 and we sing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, that this altar is open for you. If you'd like to come, please make your way.